Songs. Sometimes I think that maybe y'all are in the same car or the same room that I am when I'm studying. When I hear these songs, they're sung like, my goodness, it just goes right down the same path. But it just shows it's the same spirit, you know, that will talk to the musician, will talk to the preacher, and talk to you individually. You know, it's the same God, and you know He's mindful of us, and I like it whenever the Lord will bring somebody across a scripture you've been thinking on or a thought you've been meditating on, because it gives you a confirmation that God's with you. You know, sometimes we need that confirmation that I am following the Lord. I am on track. You know, the devil works real hard to make you doubt that. I want to speak to you on a thought this morning. It's a question. It's, are you following the shepherd, sir? It's a question. Are you following the shepherd, sir? Mm-hmm. And it's very important that we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. And we want to go to the one scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2. It says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not at wit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." And let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here. Ask you to help me get myself out of your way, Lord, that you could speak, Lord, your word that for each individual, Lord, on an individual level, Lord, that we can all leave and say it was good to be in your presence. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can be seated. Just as Paul's ministry was thoroughly manifest in his hour, there was a ministry in our hour that was been thoroughly manifest. The Lord appeared to Paul in a light, and that same light in our hour, we've been so generously blessed to see it actually photographed. The light that he'd seen and that was with Paul is the same light. Let's read one quick quote to you. It says, "But not only is the candlestick of gold, it is of beaten gold, handcrafted of beaten gold. According to her blueprints, which the Spirit given outside of her Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, Was there ever a people so beaten and purged as the bride of Jesus Christ? Surely she is filling up the sufferings that Christ has left behind. Her goods are despoiled. Her life is in jeopardy. She is accounted a sheep for the slaughter. She is killed all the day long. She suffers much, but in it all retaliates not. Neither does she cause others to suffer. Worthy of the gospel is this lovely bride of Christ. And as gold is malleable, whereas brass will break with beating, this gold of God will bear her suffering for the Lord, not bowed, not broken, not destroyed, but formed as a thing of beauty and a joy forever by the trials and testings of this life. The church will be tested and tried, but it'll only be the bride of Jesus Christ that will pass these tests. And the bride of Jesus Christ will be the only one that will stay true to the undefiled word. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 3 and verses 1. It says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war. At the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonites, and the Hivites, that dwell in Mount Lebanon, about from Mount Balhurim unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." The Lord purposely left a precise number of the enemy alive to prove Israel. He will purposely leave some of the enemy alive to prove the church today. The Lord didn't destroy all the false gods whenever the truth came from the message of Yahweh. He didn't destroy the false doctrine. He didn't destroy all these things. Because if he did that, there would be nothing inside you to be proven. There would be nothing inside you to be tested. The only way we can ever be tested is there has to be something adverse come against us. And then once it comes against us, that's whenever we will go against the test to see if we have what it takes to pass it. Would Israel stay with the word whenever she was left alone? And that's the question I want to ask you. Will the church stay true to the word after the message has been given to us? Just as an espoused woman must remain true to her husband, Israel must be proven, and so will the church be proven today. Let's go to Judges chapter 3, verses 5. I got a lot of scriptures today, but I think it's important that we go through these. "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chesjurathan, the king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chesjurathan 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Chersithiam, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chersithiam. I don't even know how you say that. Whatever happened to Bob or Sam or Joe? And the land had rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So they were left alone. We're going to leave these alone so they can try you to see what you're going to do in the absence of the Lord. And as soon as he left them, what did they do? They immediately went into the false gods. They immediately started marrying into the world. They immediately started doing these things. And once they got into the bondage, what did they do? They began to cry out to God. Oh God, please help us. Please deliver us. God would come down. God would deliver them. They'd serve God for a little while. And guess what happens? They're right back in bondage again, picking up the old false idols, picking up all these things. Each time the Lord would deliver them, they would do these things. Down 7 church ages, the Lord would give a truth And only the called out, the church, would hear the word. They would come out. They would follow the truth for a little while. But what would they do? Again, they would pick up the same old doctrines. They begin to denominate. They begin to do the same old things they did before. And it's not just in the church ages. If we're not careful, brothers and sisters, it's on our daily life. What we will do, we will get free from the Lord. But what do you do with your freedom once the Lord gives you the freedom? If we're not careful in the absence of the revival from whenever you give your heart to the Lord, in the absence of the time when you got that touch, in the absence of that time, what do you do during that absence? Because that is the time that you will be proven. That is the time that you will be tested. And the enemy, there will be opportunity for you to have the opposition. And during that time is where you'll see whether you're proven or not, whether you pass the test. You will be proven, but you'll decide whether you can pass the test. Some would go free for a while, and they'd walk in truth for a while, but in the absence of the Lord, they picked up false doctrines. They were set free and entangled. They entangled themselves again. So many times, the children of God will be set free only to be entangled again. Through each age, a trumpet would sound, and this set the captives free. They that believed the word of God would be sealed away, but they that turned that word of God or pushed it back or didn't accept it fully, they were actually put under a temporary judgment. How many knows that's right in the church age book? There was a trumpet that would sound each time. So the question I want to ask you this morning, are we following the shepherd? I probably couldn't find one person, if I was to go through this building, through the bus stops, through the gas station, different places, and I would ask them, who is the shepherd and are you following? Not one person, you probably won't find one person that won't tell you, Jesus Christ is the shepherd. And probably not one person would tell you, I'm following him. He's my shepherd. I follow him. You won't find one person that won't say that. But there's got to be a test to show whether we are following that shepherd. There should be evident fruits in our life. There should be signs in our life that will testify. You can tell if a man's been painting and he's got stuff all over him, you don't have to walk up to him and say, hey, are you a painter? I'm definitely not a painter, but I've been painting because I got paint all over. Because some good painters don't get it all over them. You should see me when I paint. It's pathetic. Half the paint's on me and you got to look it on the wall. But you don't have to ask a person, have you been in the presence of the paint? Why? Because they have the evident signs on their life. They have been in the presence of paint. And whenever you're dealing with a child of God that's walking with their shepherd, there should be evident signs, evident fruit in their life. They are with their shepherd. Amen. I want the signs that shows I'm with the shepherd. Amen. Is it possible? I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible for a person to think that they are seeing and following Jesus but mistaken? Is it possible for a person to think that they're following the shepherd but they're mistaken? Does Jesus prove his people? Let's go to St. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1 through 14. I'm extra dry today. I didn't drink enough water yesterday. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain there, and he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus was lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto them, he said unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that we may eat? Now look at this next scripture. It says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said unto him, there was a lad here which had 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and then he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore he gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. There was a situation that he allowed to take place. He knew that this situation was going to take place, and he wanted to prove them. He said, what are we going to do in this situation? He knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see what the people would do. Now, this was a great company that thought that they were following the shepherd. They were following the man Jesus, but they weren't following the shepherd. How contradictory does that sound? They were following Jesus, but they weren't following the shepherd. They were following because they saw him as a man that did miracles. They saw him because they said, but it was deeper than that. There is a voice within the voice. There's something deeper inside Jesus, and I'm here to tell you, there's something deeper inside the message. It's not just the shell of the message, it's the voice inside the message. That's what's going to speak to us, and it's the voice within the voice that's going to give you rapturing faith. It's the voice within the voice. I can say you're healed, and you can hear that. But there's a voice within that voice that you're healed whenever it is a revelation to you, and you know that you're healed. And that's what we got to have. We got to have the revelation. We need to see the revelation. We need to see the revelation. This is our shepherd. Whatever he says, whatever he goes, whatever he does, he knows what's best for me. And we must acknowledge we have a shepherd available.
Amen.
But are we following him?
Yeah.
We have a shepherd available, but are we following him? The multitudes were following the physical body of Jesus, but they were missing who the shepherd was. Think of it. Think of it, how close they were. They had the tangible body of Jesus right in front of them, and they didn't even recognize him of who he was. They had the tangible physical body. They literally had the shepherd in front of them, and they didn't recognize him as the shepherd. They were going to try to force the shepherd to do what they wanted him to do. And that's what the people do today. They want the preacher to do what they want them to do. If you don't, we'll vote you out. You know, that's the mentality of the churches today. Thank God for a message that's given us that we realize this is our God, the Word.
Amen.
That's right. This is our God. They tried to get the Word to do something that it wasn't supposed to do. They were going to try to take Jesus by force. And so he had to escape and went to the mountain. They tried to place the Word out of its position. I'll ask you a question. How many times did the Pharisees and Sadducees preach and teach about Jehovah of the Old Testament and Father Abraham? How many times did they walk with their scrolls in their pocket, in their elbows or in their arms? They walked with elegance. They would walk through, and people would, to the point, people would say, here comes the Pharisees, here comes the Sadducees. Here comes the most religious people of the world. Here are the people. These are the guys that hold the word of truth. These are the preachers. These are the leaders. These are our guides. These are the people that we look to for answers. How many times did they walk through there and they would talk about Father Abraham? How many times would they talk about the scrolls? How many times would they talk about these things? But they hated Jesus. Think of it, the most religious people we're talking about, because the word today, it's the same word as back then, but it's a different form.
Yeah.
So what people would do back then, they'll do the same thing today.
Yeah.
Is it possible for a people to believe that they are following the teachings of Moses, but really not following the shepherd? Let's go to St. John chapter 5, starting in verse 30. I can of my own will, this is Jesus speaking, I can of my own will do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Think of what he's saying here. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from man, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, that ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Think of it. These people were saying, they were preaching their whole lives, our father Abraham, Moses. They were preaching these things, and he said, do you not realize that they are going to accuse you in that day? The very person that you claim to hold his words, the very prophet that had a message and you're claiming to hold on to it, and you think I'm going to be accusing you? This is Jesus saying, you think I'm going to be the one that accuses you? It's not going to be me that accuses you. It's going to be the very one that you were quoting. It's going to be the very prophet that you claim to hold his words. It's going to be the very one that you claim I have the words of life. He's going to be the very one that's going to accuse you. How many knows that we'll be judged by our message? Yeah. That's right. We'll be judged by the word that's been given to us in our hour. And they claimed that they were following the shepherd. They claimed to have the truth, but they were missing the shepherd. I want to know the shepherd. I want to know that I am following the shepherd. And the way you can know that, they said, if you truly followed Moses, if you could truly hear the voice of Moses, you would hear my voice. Because it's the same shepherd. It was the same shepherd all the time. It was the same shepherd in Noah. It was the same shepherd in Moses. It was the same shepherd all the way down. It's the same God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, whenever you have truth, and you have truth, and you can go to someone, I don't care if they're Baptist, I don't care if they're Nazarene, I don't care if they're Methodist, I don't care if they're Pilgrim Holiness, I don't care what they are, when you present truth, and there's something inside them, it'll say, amen, because it's the same shepherd.
Right.
That's right. It's the same shepherd that just haven't come to the point yet to where they can get that rock out of the way, where that seed can clearly hear that voice and that sound. What is it that makes us pull to this word? It's not our intellects. It's something deeper. There's a deep call to the deep. There's something inside the believer that says, that's right. That's truth. Whenever you need a revelation for healing, it doesn't come from here. It might start here in your mind where you'll start saying, I know I'm healed. I know what I need this need. I know that. You can say that from here, but faith doesn't come from here. Faith comes from your heart. God will move in your heart and something sparks. And then once it's a revelation to you, it can never be taken away from you.
Amen.
Males, that's right. We got to go beyond this and follow this. Because people have been following this for too long, and we're going to get to that later on in the service. I'm going to try my best not to give my end of the service at the beginning of the service. I've done that too many times in my life. These people believed that they had the truth, but they didn't have anything in them. Catch this. They didn't have anything in them to catch the revelation.
Right.
Just as Cain offered his sacrifice and it was rejected, his children are doing the same thing today. God is not just looking for worship, but he has a provided way and an acceptable way to worship him.
Right.
Cain became a wanderer. Adam gave the same word to Cain and Abel, but only Abel had something inside him that caught the revelation of it, that it has to be the blood. Right. He preached the same message, same gospel. Both of them heard the same message, but the difference was, Abel had something inside him that caught the revelation. And it's that revelation that is what he did the sacrifice, and that's what was accepted to him.
Mm-hmm.
The true church lives, overcomes, and manifests by revelation. You say it, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not just having the word, but it's having something within the believer that catches the revelation. It's a deep call to the deep. It is he that hath an ear to hear. When Cain turned down the truth, he became a wanderer. Catch this. When Cain turned down the truth, he became a wanderer. And the same thing happens today. When a person turns down truth, they become a wanderer. They don't know who their mama is. They don't know who their papa is. They'll bounce around. They'll say, finally, I got the truth. This is it. This is it. And they'll be it for 30 days or 60 days or sometimes even up to a year. And next thing you know, oh, that's not it. Oh, this is it. We finally got the truth. Oh, but they'll do it for a little while and they'll keep going. What are they doing? They are a wanderer. They are lost. Whenever you get away from truth, when you turn truth down, you are lost.
Right.
You might be able to go to work on time. You might be able to go to church. You may be able to pay tithes. You might do this. But if you turn down truth, you are lost.
Right.
Because when you turn down truth, you turn down your shepherd. We need our shepherd.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we're following our shepherd. When the children of Israel were under the bondage of Egypt, they cried for deliverance that they could serve God. After the Lord delivered them, they kept looking back to Egypt. They were the church, they were the called out, but they never went into the promised land. They followed truth for a season and then turned to false idol worship. They used the very gold that they brought out of Egypt to turn into an idol. Think of this. They used the very deliverance that was given. They used the very materials that were involved in their deliverance. The things that they should have used, they used that to build a false idol rather than using it toward the worship towards God. And we're going towards the top of the year, just a moment. They rejected whom God had sent to them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32, verses 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. And the Lord said, I want this scripture, has always just struck me, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Ain't that something? How he didn't say, Go get my people.
Yeah.
Go get thy people. I'm so disgusted with them. Like, have you ever heard of mother and father say, Go get your son. Go get your daughter. There's always struck me. He says, For thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.
Right.
Think of it. They were set free, but they corrupted themselves in the absence of Moses.
Right.
And remember, Moses, in just a small typology, is the message. We've been given a message that's called us out. But once we get called out of that, what are we doing with it? We have to make sure that we don't corrupt ourselves during that time. Verses 8, They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? The Lord said, look what thy people have done. And Moses says, no, Lord, look what thy people. He's going back and forth. He says, no, Lord, these are your people. Not mine, these are your people, God. Why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with a great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountain, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto this people. Brother Graham said that was Christ in Moses. He was going to wipe them off, say, you know what, I'll just start fresh. But he laid out, he said, Lord, don't do this to these people. Have mercy upon them. These people were brought out. They were set free, but they corrupted themselves. Help us to not do that ourselves in our own walk. They were supposed to wait on the Lord, but rather than waiting on the revelation from God, they created an idol. And too many times I see that, it just makes me sick and frustrated sometimes. I've seen, not here, but I've seen in message churches, well, this is what the prophet really meant. Don't tell me what the prophet really meant. Leave the tape the way it is. It don't need interpreting. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Don't tell me this is what the Bible means. I don't need your interpretation. Tell me what the Bible says. Because the Bible will speak for itself. And the message will speak for itself.
Amen.
Because a lot of times people, this is what I'm saying, as an individual, listen to me, young people. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a revelation. It's a revelation to you. Is that right? You don't go by feelings. You don't go by emotion. It is a revelation. And so I say, it goes back beyond the feelings of your flesh, beyond your mind. It's something inside you that it will open up. Don't get too impatient and say, well, I've been waiting for the Holy Ghost to come to me, so I'm just going to do, this is what the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you actually make a calf, a golden calf out of it, out of your experience in the Lord. And there's too many of that around the message. There's too many golden calves around the message. Where rather than waiting on God to give you the revelation, they want to say, well, this is really what he meant. I don't need the interpretation. Give me the revelation. And if you don't have the revelation, stand still. I'm just going to give you a little nugget here from Brother Daniel, okay? There's a lot of things, there are things about certain things I don't quite understand. Now, I could do what they're doing and just keep diving into it and say, I'll make this happen, and I'll make it a golden calf is what I'll do. Don't do that. Put it on the shelf. And say, you know, I don't quite understand this, but in God's time, he'll give me the revelation of it.
Right.
Don't, because if what we are worshiping is not the original truth, it is a false Jesus. If what we are following in our life is not the original word, it is a false Jesus and it is a false worship. It's the same thing. Listen, in the message, it would be the same thing as being out there in a denominational church, listen to false doctrine, because it's still false doctrine.
Yes.
False doctrine is false doctrine, regardless. Amen. And we don't have to do that. We've got the wonderful message given to us. They were supposed to wait on Moses, because whenever Moses, and we'll show you this in a physical typology, Moses had the tables. You can't see it right now, right? You can't see it, because it's hidden. Moses was on the mountain to get the tables from the Lord, and the Lord was going to write the tables to him. And they got impatient. They got tired of waiting. They said, we don't know what's happened to this Moses. We don't know what happened to this message. Let us build a calf. And they built a calf. If they would have waited, Moses was coming down with the tablets, the table, he could have pulled up, and now it would have been a revelation to them. Because they got too impatient. They didn't wait on him. And people can do that same thing today. Don't get too impatient. Wait on the revelation. Lord, I want to know the revelation of this word. If you need divine healing, God, I need the revelation. Sometimes God will wait till you get right to the edge of the drop-off before he'll give it to you. But God will give it to you.
Right.
If God tells us that we need to walk through this wall, Good possibility he's not going to open that wall up when we're way back here. Sometimes it will be right when you're, okay, Lord told me to walk through the wall. Lord told me to walk through the wall. Lord told me to walk through the wall. And it might be right when that wall is right at your nose. As ridiculous as this sounds, if the word tells you to walk through that wall, when you get to that wall, there will be an opening. And there's a body change that's been given to us. That same mindset, brothers and sisters, God said we're going to have a body change, and we may be getting so close, where we're getting so close and so close and so close and so close and so close. It's not my word, it's His word. It will be there.
Right.
Our rapturing faith will be there. But the only way we're going to have this rapturing faith, listen to these words I'm saying, the only way we'll have that rapturing faith is if we are following our shepherd.
Amen.
Right.
Not having the shell, not having these things, not because people follow Jesus, but were they really following Jesus?
Yeah.
They were following the miracles, things like that. But there should be something inside them that said, ah, there's something about this man. There's something inside. It was something deeper than their intellect. It was something deeper. This is truth. And that's what we got to have. We got to walk by revelation.
Okay.
Amen. Too many message churches are getting too anxious. Rather than waiting on the Lord for the revelation, they preach a presumed gospel. And it's no different than a golden calf. And you know what's sad about that? You get a lot of young preachers. They'll have a gift in their life, and it could be a genuine gift to preach the gospel. But they are so anxious to get up there and preach that they want to preach that truth, and they're afraid that they're not going to be the first one to give this truth. And because they're so anxious to preach the message, they'll all be the first one. They'll go out there and shout and they'll fire. And because they've got enthusiasm, everybody will be shouting. They'll be raising the roar. Oh my gosh, that was a mighty service. But if you go back to that service and examine it with the scripture and examine it with the message, did he really preach the truth? Well, most of it. What do you mean most of it? It's got to be all or nothing. All or nothing of this word. Because you can have most of your life in the word, but if you're not all in the word, guess what? A little leaven, leaven the whole lump.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, I'm not despising young preachers, but catch with the revelation of what I'm trying to tell you. People can be so anxious to be the first one that they don't wait on the revelation. And because they don't wait on the revelation, they preach a presumed gospel. And because they preach a presumed gospel, the people that hear it will live a presumed life. And their life will manifest exactly what they're sitting under. I thank God that we've got a ministry here that preaches the truth. Thank God for our pastor.
Amen.
That will preach the truth. He don't try to be exuberant. He don't try to do these things. He's just Brother Tony. And you know what? I love just Brother Tony.
Right.
Don't try to be nothing bigger. Because we need to, listen to what I'm saying. We need to wait on the revelation.
Amen.
Don't get too anxious. Husband and wife, whenever you're a young boy and young girl, when you're looking at marriage, you're doing that, you get anxious. You're ready to, it's like, oh, I can't wait. I got this love. It's just burning inside me. I'm ready to just jump into it. Wait. Don't be anxious. Wait. Because if you feel like you have to do it now, you're going to make a mistake.
Right.
And I don't know, like I told people before, that like, I didn't plan on preaching that, but a couple people were like, whatever, you know. Now, they wouldn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. In that same way, if you listen to what I'm saying, if you ever feel anxious, I got to do it now, and it's a big commitment like that, you better check yourself.
Right.
If it's a financial situation and you feel pressured, I need to buy this car, and I tell people, if you feel anxious, do not buy this car right now. I told God that yesterday. If you feel anxious, if you feel nervous, do not buy this car. One deal's not going to make me and one deal's not going to break me.
Right.
If you feel anxious and doing it, hold off. Wait until you get the revelation. And then when you get the revelation and you know this is the revelation, this is what God wants me to do, you can walk in confidence. Listen to what I'm saying. Whatsoever is not eaten in faith is sin.
Right.
We need to have confidence in what we're eating. Confidence. We need to walk in confidence that I am walking in the revelation of this word.
Right.
I know that I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it is a revelation to me. Because I'm following my shepherd.
Amen.
But if you're being anxious and you feel nervous, hold off. Praise the Lord. If our revelation is contrary to the original Word of God, it is a false idol. The Word does not need our interpretating. The Word does not need our approval. We don't. It's not that God needs us. We need God. Yeah. We need to acknowledge that.
Amen.
It's not God that needs us. It's us that need God.
Yeah.
I need God. Because you know what? If I decide, how many people choose not to worship God? God's going to keep going on. Because He's powerful. He's absolute. He's all sufficient.
Right.
It's not Him that needs the people. The people need God.
That's right.
That's right. People get too big for their britches sometimes and don't realize they forget where they got their victories. I got my victories from God. The children of Israel, I got my deliverance because I received whom God had sent. God sent a deliverer, and I received that message of that deliverer, and because I followed that deliverer, I reverenced the voice of that deliverer. And when I reverenced the voice of that deliverer, I got the blood on the doorpost like I was supposed to. I was through all the trials. I went through the deliverance. I did all this because I listened to the voice. I reverenced the voice. But what happened in the absence of Moses? They lost their reverence to the voice. Day by day, little by little, where at one time they held the voice of Moses up high, they become lower, 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 lower. To the point they said, you know what? We don't even know what's happened to this guy. We better go ahead and build us a calf. Prophet's been off the scene how many years now? Their confidence is in the wrong thing.
Right.
Our confidence must be in the shepherd.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. The shepherd. We come naked in this world and we'll leave naked. We can't allow ourselves to get too big of broad bridges. You know, any person in this room can go tomorrow and not have a job. That's right. Any person hearing this under my voice on the radio, don't let yourself get too big for your bridges, because tomorrow you might not even have a job to go to. Because that's when you got to acknowledge my job is not my shepherd. God is my shepherd.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And because He is my shepherd and I'm following Him, even if Breeden Dodge goes under, I don't have to worry because my needs will be met.
Right.
It's up to God to provide how He does it. And see, that will take a lot of stress off us whenever we acknowledge that for my bills that I have coming up, those are God's bills. God's my shepherd. God's provided. Whose job is it to get those sheep to green pasture? They're shepherds.
Right.
Whose job is it to protect those sheep from the wolves? The shepherd. It's not the sheep's job. All the sheep's job is listen to the shepherd.
Right.
That's all that sheep's got to do. And listen, that's what we got to do on a daily basis. We got to listen to the voice of our shepherd.
Amen.
Because our shepherd is the one that will get us healed. Our shepherd will give us the honey on the rock. Our shepherd is the one that will break our leg if we need it.
Right.
And pick us up and carry us. It's our shepherd. We must make sure we're following our shepherd. And I got a long ways to go. I better quit this rabbit hole. There was an actor years ago that played the original Superman. I'm talking the original. How many knows who I'm talking about? He was the man's man. He was the strong guy. He was the one that could fly and do, I don't remember what he did, it's been too long ago, but he did a lot of cool stuff, so to speak, back then. But this was a man that everybody uphold as being the Superman. This guy's the strong guy. This is the guy that's got the superpowers. This is the guy that can do these things. And the man was humbled to the point to where he couldn't even go to the bathroom by himself. As a young man, not an old man. God knows how to humble somebody. And that man was probably the most humble people you'll ever meet on his final days of his life. But this, God knows how to take a person to the point where he's literally Superman to the world and make him in a wheelchair where he has to be fed and doing everything. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't allow us to be too big for our britches, because God knows how to humble us if he has to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord allowed the man to fall. He allowed things to happen. The Lord knows how to humble a person if he has to. The Lord has always had a small group of people that would believe his word. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Think of it, he commanded ravens to feed him. Birds can take instruction and listen. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The scripture says he commanded her. Just as he commanded the ravens, he commanded this woman. Now, if you still ask that woman, have you ever received a commandment from the Lord today? She said, I ain't heard a thing today. But she didn't realize it, but this woman was following her shepherd and didn't even recognize him. Look, watch this. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by Elijah. From the looks of it, a person looking at this woman before Elijah gets there can say, that's a woman that's not following the shepherd. That's a woman that is obviously not following the Lord because she's going through trials, because she's struggling financially, because she's going through that. And the devil will try to tell you that. If you're going through a time when you're struggling financially, you're struggling to these things, and you're doing all the right things, but sometimes you go through a struggle. This woman was put in this situation that way she could hear the voice of God at the due time and that she can be proven. This woman was being tested. This woman was going through a proving time to see what will you do in the absence of the Lord. What will you do in the absence of the feeling of the Lord? What will you do in your absence whenever you're going through a time, you're alone, your meal barrel's dry, you're alone and your boy is hungry? What are you going to do during that time? She was in a testing time. Sometimes when you're going through a dry spell in this life, you're going through a testing time. And it's an opportunity for you to be proven. How is it possible to feel alone and to feel like you're in despair, yet you're following the shepherd the whole time? The Lord said that he commanded the widow to sustain the prophet, and she did it. The prophet was the word for her hour. What if she'd have turned back to false idols? What if she'd have turned back and said, you know what, I may as well just get with Joe over here and I don't love him, but he'll provide for me. You know, she didn't shack up with somebody. She stayed true. She stayed pure. She said, I'm going to keep myself holy before the Lord. I say that because in this revelation, sometimes you'll go through a spell where it feels like, I want a fresh revelation. I want a fresh revelation. Wait on the Lord. Because the Lord will give you a revelation. We do not have to settle for a byproduct of it. Wait on the Lord and he'll give you the revelation. Because that's what we need in this walk. That is what makes you a strong Christian. That is what will hold you in the storms is revelation.
Right.
That's right. Not a presumed gospel, a revelation.
Amen.
That's right. Too many people have gotten too impatient waiting on the revelation and turned to their golden calves. And their lives speak it, that they do that. A person can say they're following the shepherd, but their life will bear the fruits that they are. A tree is known by its fruit. God is a holy God, and his people are a holy people. Remember, it's not the holy mountain, it's the holy God in the mountain. God is in his word, and as long as his people are with his word, if God, I'm telling you, as soon as you turn the word down, you have gotten away from your shepherd. Are you following the shepherd? Here's a quote what Brother Graham says. Excuse me. So finally, one day, she went to the meal barrel, and there was just one handful of meal left. She goes over to the cruise to see how much oil and just about a good tablespoonful that stood between her and death. And I suppose that night there was an all-night prayer meeting. Isn't it strange how God lets us get down to the end of the road? No doubt, but she checked up. She said, Lord, something like this, I've served you. I've done all that I know how to do. I've met your requirements. And here I've got one handful of meal and a spoonful of oil between death for my child and myself. All night long, she must have prayed. When the little fellow would wake up, turn over and say, Mama, would you go back to the cupboard and see if there's just a little bit more of bread left? She'd go back, she'd cry a little, and then she would come back and give him a little water to drink. For she knew she could just have this little bit and it had maybe make the next day. And the little fellow maybe couldn't sleep good because he was hungry. I've been through those places, no doubt. But there's many here been through those places. I've seen my mother leave the table of a morning, sit back in the house and cry when what she had on the table was some stale bread. And she'd pour some coffee over it and some sugar over the top of it for us kiddies. So, and go back to the room and weep and say, I'm not hungry. When she was hungry and just trying to go to school like that. And the woman, as she's seeing that in that crucial hour, no doubt she was checking up and said, Lord, I've done all that I know how to do. When you've done everything that you know how to do and met every requirement that God has required, that's where faith takes a hold. That's where faith comes in. If you've met every requirement that God required of you, then sometimes God tests your faith to see what kind of reaction you'll have on your action. Oh, he's good at that. He just proves whether you really believe what you think you believe. You know he does that many times. God will test your faith. Another time, Brother says, one morning there was some Hebrew children was going to be burned up. And they knew that they had done God's will. And they said, we're not afraid of the king's commandments. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Nevertheless, we'll not bow to his image. Now, God was going to give them a test to see what their reaction to their action would be. And he let them walk right straight to the fiery furnace before he ever moved. But when all of God's requirements has been met, and you're certain of God that God will do it, stand still and God will do it. Sometimes it's when your nose is all the way to the wall before God will open the door. But you've got, during that time, listen to what I'm saying. When you start going through a trial, you've heard me say this probably a million times, but it's still the truth, I believe. When you start going through a trial, do a checkup first. Lord, is there anything amiss? If there's anything amiss, get that right. After that's done right and everything is under the blood, then you can walk by faith and steadfast. And when you get to the wall, there will be something there. But if there's something hidden inside your life and you know what's there, you can walk that wall and you'll bust your nose right on the wall too. Because you've got to make those things right. You've got to put that stuff under the blood. Now, that's not to accuse you that you've got a hidden sin, but that's your first checkup. Is there anything wrong? You do a checkup. And then once you do that checkup, yes, everything's done right, everything's under the blood, then you can walk by faith and move forward once the requirements are made. And we're almost in this. We don't want to go too much longer. Now, sometimes when we meet the requirements, we think about, well, why didn't he answer? God does sometimes that way to wait upon our action to see what our reaction will be. See, sometimes. Look at the Shunammite woman, for instance. See, He wanted to see what her reaction would be. And he does that many times just to see how we will react. But if we're certain that we have met God's requirement, just stay right with it. He's got to act. You hear it? He's got to act. If he made the promise, he's God and has to keep that promise. He's God. He just can't take it back and say, well, he must have been mistaken. God don't make mistakes. He's perfect. And one last one here. When he come back out, bringing the children of Israel out to the promised land, right in the path of the duty, laid the Red Sea, it's strange how God will lead his people right into traps. Sometimes wheelchairs. Sometimes with heart attacks. Sometimes he leads his people. Why? To see what they'll react. See how. See what a reaction they'll have on an action. See what they'll do. Every son that comes to God must be tested, tried. In the Old Testament, a son was born in a family, but he had to be tutored and raised up and tried. And when he was placed as a son or adoption, placed in the body or in... Then when he was placed, once placed, then his name was just as good on the check as his father's was. He was heirs of all things. That's where God is bringing his church, is giving them the test. God is giving you a test. God's going to put you through a trial. Right. But during that trial, it's how you react during that trial. You know, when you go to a doctor's office, it's got a little hammer. Looks like a little, it's been a while since I've been here, but I think like a little triangle on the end of it. Now, if you notice, you don't sit there and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to hit you on your knee, and at the same moment that I hit your knee, kick. Now, have you ever heard a doctor say that? No, most of the time, he's talking about everything in the world that has nothing to do with your leg. And he goes, yep, your foot goes out automatically. It kicks. What is it? It's a reaction. It's a reaction to an action. And because it's not something that you're going to do from here, it's something that happens automatically. It's an automatic reaction. And just as sure as we react, just like that when he hits that, these are the things we're preaching about this morning, how we will be put in a situation, and you're not going to mentally say, okay, I'm going through this situation, so this is what I need to do. No, it's nothing like that. It's a natural reaction. It's a real fruit. It's something. When that Shunammite woman was going through her trial, when the widow of Zarephath was going through what she was going through, it was a natural reaction. It was something that came out. When Jesus did what he did, when they ripped his beard up, it was a natural reaction. And that's why we're going through the trials that we're going through. It's to see what is your natural reaction. Right. Because you can be whatever skin color, white, black, green, yellow, it don't matter. You take that tool, you hit it on the knee, what happens? Boop. Your leg goes out automatically. It doesn't matter about that. Because it's a natural reaction. Something inside you does it. Because that's God's provided way for your body to work. And I'm here to tell you, when we'll put this word in its place, and the need comes, and I need that hole in the wall, I can keep walking up there, and it's something I need to work up. I don't muster up my faith. I don't pump something like an air pump. Like, okay, here's my faith. All right, I feel the faith. All right, I got the faith. All right. It ain't that. You'll walk right into the wall. But it's whenever you're just walking by faith, you're following the shepherd. Right. You may be going somewhere and don't even know what you're going to do. And all of a sudden, you need that wall moved. God's going to take the hammer out and go. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's going to kick just like that. It'll work just like it's supposed to.
Right.
It's the same thing with healing. When you have need of healing, you don't work it up. You don't do all this stuff. You just follow the shepherd.
Right.
And at God's moment, in God's time, he'll take that hammer out and he'll hit you on the knee. But you got to, it's what is your action to the reaction.
Right.
Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to let our musicians come if you'd like to. Are you following the shepherd? Because whenever they were following the shepherd, when Zacchaeus was in that tree and Jesus walked over there, Zacchaeus didn't think about how he's going to act. Hey, all he had to do was be up in that tree, and Jesus had to walk up there and say, Zacchaeus, what are you doing in that tree? What did he do? He took the hammer out. He just kicked automatically. What was it that made you follow the message? What was it that made you follow the truth? It wasn't that you worked something up. He took the hammer out, hit you. When he talked to the woman at the well, he's talking to this, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. It was a reaction to an action. It was something that happened. It was something inside you. What is it that makes the seed? Whenever you get a sunflower in the ground and that light shines all of it, it can shine so many days, nothing ever happens. But all of a sudden, at a certain moment, when God's time is, God will say, okay, this specific sunflower will bloom, it will spark. Now, it's God's time. God will give the moment, and God's precise moment, God will give the faith that you need. In the exact moment when you need it, God will give you the faith that you need. But don't get impatient. Don't build a false image. Don't build a false thing. Don't be something pretense. Don't be fake. Be real. Be real. Don't try to be something pumped up. Don't do none of that. Just be real. And in God's time, God will give you the revelation. And then when God gives you the revelation, you can have confidence because you're not eating in doubt. You're eating in faith. Then we're eating and we're living by faith. We're walking by faith. We are following our shepherd. Amen. I hope that makes sense. Let's all bow our heads. If you don't mind, just stop for just a moment. I ask you to examine yourselves. And just, search yourself and say, am I really following the shepherd? Am I really following this truth? How well do you know your shepherd's voice? Whenever he talks to you, how do you hear him? Because God wants you to hear him. God wants to fellowship with you. God wants to talk with you. Just examine yourselves this morning. Let's examine and say, Lord God, help my walk with you, Lord. Help me to examine myself. If you need us to touch with the Lord, just lift your hand to him this morning and say, Lord God, I'm here. I'm in your presence, Lord God. And I want to follow your voice. I don't want to follow some false image. I don't want to follow a presumption that I'm following the message. I want to know I'm following the message. I don't want to go presumption that I'm following the shepherd. I want to know that I'm following the shepherd. And listen to what I'm saying. Just because you're maybe going through a financial struggle, that is not a sign that you are not following your shepherd. Sometimes it's a proof that you are following the shepherd. But the most important is how you reverence this word and hold this word in your life. We're going to pray with you now. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see my precious friends here this morning, Lord. Hands that went up across this field, Lord. We're not looking around at other people, Lord, because this is a personal time right now, Lord. God, I ask you to go to each hand that went up across this field, Lord, to say, I want to follow my shepherd. I want to know that I'm following my shepherd on a daily basis, God. Guide them in their conversations, Lord. Guide them in their finances, Lord. Guide them in all these things, Lord. Lord God, our daily walk, Lord, I commit them to you, Lord. Walk the aisle. Lord, would you knock on every heart this morning, Lord God? And Lord Jesus, if there's any, not meaning to, Lord, but if there may be any golden calves that try to be built up, Lord, where it's a presumed revelation, Lord, may those things be tore down and cast into the fire this morning, Lord. Lord, I only want to see you in the true revelation that you are. Lord, we want to see you in the undefiled word that you are. Lord, just as they tried to make you be something that you're not in the moment, Lord God, we don't want to do that, God. We want you to be what you want to be in our life, God. We want you to be where you are, God. Help us to see you, Lord. Lord, not with these physical eyes, but by revelation, Lord. Would you help us to see you, Lord, and see who we are. Lord God, I commit my family here to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Touch our hearts in Jesus' name.
See you. on me. Fill my cup again. Heal my heart and make me whole. I need you now, oh, your Spirit
else. I had a moment yesterday that really spoke to my heart. Customer that come sold him a vehicle a while back, and he come to get some paperwork yesterday, and he's bound by a homosexual spirit and very evident of it. And I just don't know how to explain to you when he come through there the love I have for this poor man that's bound by his spirit. And a lot of people were making fun of him and at work, not meaning to, making fun of him, things like that, and they don't recognize that that man's got a spirit on him that will pack him to hell if he's not delivered and lays himself under the blood. But you know what? It's homosexual spirit ain't no worse than everything else. If you've got something that you hold on to and you're allowing it in your life and it's dragging you down and it's taking you away from this word, you need to look at that spirit just as filthy as a homosexual spirit. And God, may it be that if we come in contact with somebody that's bound by that spirit, that we don't come towards them with a judgmental spirit of tearing them down, but of grace that we can pick him up. In just a little bit of moment of talking to him, he said, you know, I really appreciate the spirit you have about you. And I really appreciate that. And I said, God, help him. God, help that man set free. That's a man that's away from his shepherd. God, help us as a missions-minded church that on a daily basis our life is on the missions field, where our life is speaking. Our life is the shepherd. The shepherd is inside us. We have the life inside of us, that our life will go out and find the lost sheep, and that we will present a life that will be a welcoming spirit, not to say that we will let down our bars, but to show them there is grace. There is freedom. There is happiness. We have it. But it's in this word. So I want to remember that man in prayer as we get ready to pray for the end of the service. And I ask you, let's pray that God will make us a missions active church.
Amen.
To where whenever we welcome somebody in these doors, somebody comes off the street, may it be a welcome spirit saying, you are welcome here. The presence of the Lord is here and you can be free. May it be when we interact with our family, our life will speak that you can be free. You can be set free. I am following my shepherd and the Lord has set me free. In the same way he set me free, he can set you free. Let's just pray one moment and pray for him. Heavenly Father, we come to a close of this service. I ask you to go to that man, Lord, that I just spoke about. You know my heart just went so heavy to him, Lord. Lord God, I know he's a son, Lord. Lord, I know one time that he was a little baby crawling on the floor. Lord, but somewhere down this life, his path got crooked, Lord. That old spirit come on him, Lord. God, I ask you that you can be merciful to that man, Lord. Deliver him from that wicked spirit, Lord, that tries to drag him down, Lord. Lord God, help us as a church to be a missions-minded church, God. Not just looking at Honduras or Nicaragua or Mexico, but right here, Lord. Right where we live, the quarters that we live, the streets that we go down, the stores that we go to, the games that we may go to, may we have a missions-minded walk, God, where we have the shepherd. We are walking with you. Lord God, that we can present a welcoming spirit of showing you can be free too. You can have this peace. You can have this joy. You can have this love. Help us, Lord. Lord, touch each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. share this.